Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Read these two scriptures. Isaiah 7, verse 14, the prophet is prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus shows up, prophesying to the Messiah. It says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And then you fast forward into the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, and it says this about Jesus, Emmanuel, that son born of a virgin. It says, "His name will be the hope of all the world." His name will be the hope of all the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name in these next few moments that we look at your word together, that, Lord, we sense your presence, your glory, your anointing would show up in this place. God, that we would feel your presence. And, Lord, I pray, God, that we would know you, the hope of the world, like never before in these few moments we have together today. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said. Now, I don't know about you, I know that I'm not a very emotional person. I'm very calm and centered, and I don't ever go up and down or anything. I know you guys know that about me, that I am a rock of stability. Yeah, you know, I don't get up here and cry every other week or anything, and I don't ever get wild or anything like that. So even as cold and stone cold as I am, and I'm being facetious, sarcastic about that, but even the hardest of hearts and the coldest of cold and the stone cold of the stone cold, when it comes Christmas time, man, there's just something about Christmas that can still catch you in the feels. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, you start decorating, and honestly, I'm not. In fact, Luann informed me that I never help with the tree. I just, which is not true. I do. See, here's the deal. Here's the thing. We put the tree up in the attic, and I'm the only one brave enough to climb up in the attic in the garage and get the tree down. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can throw the ornaments on the tree. Anybody can do that. I have a specific job, and because my job is so specified, I'm the only one apparently that can do it. Justin, you know what I'm talking about. Once that job is done, then that's what I do. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, but even, you know, we're getting the tree down. I'm grumbling about it. You know, a few weeks ago, I'm like, I don't feel like climbing up in the attic. It's honestly a little scary up there. I think birds are living in the attic in the garage, and I don't know if they're going to attack me. Honestly, I'm scared to death that I'm going to open up the Christmas tree box, and a squirrel is going to jump out, and I'm going to relive the Chevy Chase Christmas moment. You know what I mean? And I mean, these things haunt me, to be quite honest with you. And so we get the tree down, and you start putting it up, and you start getting the garland and the tinsel and the lights, and all of a sudden you just start to get that feeling. How many know what I'm talking about? That Christmas feeling. You're just like, man, just feels like Christmas. We got that snow last week. Just started to feel like Christmas. Last night we drove home. We drove down through the town park, and man, they've done a great job at the Christmas walk down there. I don't know what they're calling it, the Christmas thing, where the lights are, and just starts getting. Well, here's the deal. How many know what I'm talking about? You get those Christmas feels. Listen, you know why that feeling exists around Christmas? You know why that stuff just kind of brings emotions and things to your heart that normally you don't always feel or aren't always recognizing? Here's why. The reason Christmas carries with it all these feels, and you it might, listen, obviously there's nostalgia of the kid when you were a kid. I mean, I still remember this. I remember as a kid the Christmas that I got my Nintendo. Like, I remember the Christmas that I got a Nintendo video game system when I was, I don't know how old I was, young, man. But I remember that Christmas. I can remember opening that on Christmas and playing Mario Brothers for hours and hours and hours and hours and getting the, so there's the nostalgia there, but all of that exists. Listen, the reason all those feels exist is because of one primary reason. It's because of the hope that exists in Christmas. There is a spirit in Christmas that is infused when we celebrate this, and the spirit that is infused there is the spirit of hope, the idea and the fact that Jesus is the hope of the world. Amen, somebody? The Christmas feels, or whatever you want to call it, come from the idea that Christmas is centered around a person named Jesus, and that person, Jesus, is the hope of the world. And there are three things I want to let you know this season right now about hope, because that's just what I sense God wants to say to somebody is, man, be filled, be renewed, be restored, experience and know hope this morning. Amen, somebody? Three things about hope, and you need to understand that Jesus as the hope of the world means. Here it is right here. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, listen, is the hope, watch this, that God is with me no matter where I am. Okay? Let me break this down. You look at the Christmas story. Man, the Christmas story is full of imperfection. In fact, if I was writing the Christmas story, I would not have chosen the Christmas story to take place in the location that it did. Okay? If I was writing the story and saying, man, when God shows up, the hope of the world, Jesus shows up, the hope of the world, the salvation of earth, when, man, I'm going to put that in the nicest place. I'm going to put that in a king's palace because he is the king of the world. I'm going to put that, if I was writing the story, I would have put it in a more obvious location. But God the Father writes the hope of the world in that story. He puts the sets the location in the most unlikely place whatsoever. Amen, somebody? Jesus comes, the hope of the world, and he's not born in a hospital, not born to doctors, not born in a palace. He is born in a manger, in a stable, amongst animals, amongst the sheep and the goats. And I know we have the little pretty stable pictures that looks like a nice little built organism. Listen, you know what a manger was actually? It was almost nothing more than a hole dug into the side of a hillside somewhere and propped up with a couple of lean-tos, and that's where they sheltered the animals, and that's where the hope of the world was born. He was born among the mess. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail, but we know what happens. Wherever animals stay, we know what animals do. Amen? Okay? And that's the place where Jesus was born. He wasn't born to rich people. He was born to very low income, blue collar people. He wasn't born in a city with thousands of people where everybody would know what had happened. No, he was born in a little village called Bethlehem. Bethlehem probably had a population of just a couple of hundred people. It was barely a blip on the map, and yet in the most unlikely location, in the most unlikely of places, God says, that's where I'm going to show up. That's where Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, is going to show up, the hope of the world. And if Emmanuel, God with us, will show up in that unlikely a place, in that unlikely a stable, in that unlikely a moment, guess what? I can have hope that God is with me wherever I find myself today. Amen? I might find myself in a bit of a mess. I might find myself in a bit of a stinky situation. I might find myself in feeling like I'm just stuck somewhere and nobody knows where I am and nobody knows my plight and nobody understands. Listen, God is with you wherever you are. My hope is that God is with me wherever I am. And the Christmas story shows me that. The second thing that I can have hope for, because Jesus is the hope of the world, is this. Jesus, Emmanuel, is the hope that God, listen, that God is with me no matter who I am. He is Emmanuel, God with us, no matter where you find yourself, and he is God with us no matter who you find yourself to be. You look at the Christmas story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Listen, every single cross-section of humanity, every single cross-section of the population was invited to see, to experience, and to know Jesus, the hope of the world. The shepherds. Shepherds were poor, lower class, blue-collar people with very little education, and they were the people that Jesus first sent, that God sent the angel to. It said, come see Jesus, Emmanuel, the hope of the world. Not only was it for the low and the poor and the uneducated and the blue collar, but guess what? The Bible also says that not only were the shepherds there, but the wise men traveled from afar. Wise men were very highly educated, very, very wealthy people because they were able to travel a great distance, which required great means. So it wasn't just for the poor and the low income. It was also for the wealthy and the educated and the businessmen and the people who knew what was going on. He invites the wise men and those people also to come. Listen, He births, hope is birthed through Mary, who is probably only 16 or 17 years old, and says, man, I'm going to show up and birth hope in the world through a young woman who is not famous, who doesn't have a large Instagram following, who nobody really knows who she is. Listen, she's not TikTok famous. She's not YouTube famous. She's not anything famous. She's just a plain, nothing about her is special except for the fact that God said, I'm going to use you. And I'm going to use what looks probably not special to anyone else to birth the most special thing that's ever happened. Amen? Shepherds, wise men, a young girl. Listen, not only is it a young girl, and this is not a part of the Christmas story you often hear songs about, but a few days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple to dedicate him to the Lord and to have him taken care of in the traditional Jewish way. And the Bible says there are two old people. Okay, that's just the only way I can say it. Two older saints of God that spent their time in the temple, the Bible says. Their names were Simeon and Anna. And Simeon and Anna both have these encounters that when they see Mary and Joseph walk through with Jesus, Simeon grabs the baby and says, "The Lord told me that I would not go to heaven until I saw the Messiah, and this is him." And then when Anna saw the baby, she said a very similar thing. Listen, so not only is Jesus for the, and is God with us, is my hope that it's not just for the poor and the people who are needy or people who have it all together and are looking for somebody to thank, and it's not just for the young. He's for the old. He's for every single, listen, no matter where you are, how old you are, how well along you are, listen, it's not over, and God is for you. Amen, somebody. Then we have Joseph. I mean, Joseph. Is this guy, the Bible says he's a carpenter, but man, Joseph, I don't think we give enough credit to Joseph. He is just that everyday, average, blue-collar dad. Not only is he, but think about this. If you really think about the story of Christmas and the story of the birth of Jesus, not only is Joseph a father, he's actually a stepdad. Amen? And if you read the story carefully, the Bible says that when Mary was found out to be pregnant, Joseph and Mary were already engaged, okay? You think that didn't raise any eyebrows? You think people are like, oh, really, Mary? How'd you get, an angel showed up? Okay, right? The Bible says Joseph didn't want to embarrass Mary, but the Bible says that he had plans to annul the engagement and to not go through with the wedding until an angel of the Lord did show up to Joseph and said, "Hey, Joseph, Mary's telling the truth. This is really what happened, and you're supposed to marry this girl, and I want you to give him the name Jesus." And so Joseph, man, bears, I mean, think about, I mean, you think he had a conversation with his brothers or you think his dad might have pulled him inside and said, "Joseph, what are you doing, man? This is crazy. Come on, somebody. I mean, let's just get real about the situation." Amen? Okay? All kinds of rumors and scandal going on about it. And Joseph follows through with exactly what God says. He says, "You know what? This is my son. And he's, the point is this, everybody's invited to know God with us. And if God shows himself to all of that group of people and all of those different types of people, guess what? No matter who you are, no matter who you might think you are, no matter who people have told you you are, you have hope that God is with you." And let me take it even one step further. Not only is God with you, listen to me close, God is for you. Amen, somebody? Jesus, Emmanuel, this season, this whole thing that we represent, this whole thing that we're celebrating, said is hope that God is with me no matter where I am. God is with me no matter who I am. And the third hope that we have in Jesus, Emmanuel, we could go on and on and on and just for the rest of our lives talk about the hope that we have in Jesus. But the third one I want to talk about from the Christmas story that we're celebrating is not only is Jesus the hope that God is with me no matter where I am, and it's the hope that he's with me no matter who I am, but Emmanuel is the hope that God, listen, that God is taking the broken pieces of my life that don't make sense and that are imperfect, and he is somehow molding those and fitting those together to write the most perfect plan of salvation that I could never write for myself. Amen? There is nothing about the birth of the hope of the world into the world. There is nothing about Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, showing up as the hope of the world. There is nothing that is perfect about it at all. Okay? We've already mentioned some, but think about this. Jesus is born in one of the biggest times of political unrest that the world has ever known. The Jewish people, the Jewish nation, the Israelite nation, they are looking for rebellion. They were looking to rid themselves of Roman rule, and there are constant fights and constant civil wars and constant battles going on. People are divided. People are accusing one side of this thing or one side of another thing. Kind of sounds like some stuff we got going on right now. Amen, somebody? It is a time of political turmoil. Unrest nationally. It's inconvenient. It is an inconvenient time. I mean, can you, because they have this census, right? There's this census where everyone is required to go to their hometown and register so that the Roman government can take a census. Mary is 9 months pregnant with the hope of the world. It is an inconvenient moment. Amen? Everything about it doesn't make sense. We got this questionable wedding. We got after Jesus is born. We've got Herod, the king of the Jews, the current king who sits as the ruler and governor basically of Israel. Herod tries to kill Jesus. He gets word of the king, the Messiah being born, and says, nope, not on my watch. We're going to take care of that. Nobody's going to dethrone me. And he tries to have a plot to have Jesus killed. Because they hear about the plot, Joseph and Mary are instructed by an angel to take Jesus, flee from their home, flee from everybody they know, and Jesus is actually born, and I'm sorry, Jesus is raised for the very first part of his life as an immigrant in Egypt. Nothing about it fits. Nothing about it works. Nothing about it is perfect. It's all these broken, fragmented pieces. And yet God lets us know that if he can weave the perfect plan and story of salvation and birth hope to the world through all of these pieces that don't seem to fit and that don't make sense and that are imperfect, guess what? He can do a work and can write a story of redemption and salvation with the broken pieces of my life. He can take all the messed up and imperfect parts of my story. He can take all the messed up and imperfect parts of my family tree. He can take all the imperfect and messed up things that I've done in my life that have caused me turmoil and grief. And he, if I will surrender those things to him, he can take those and weave those together and birth hope in the most unlikely and uncanny and illogical places. That is our hope. God takes all these perfect pieces, imperfect pieces, and weaves together the perfect plan of salvation and hope. And I just have a sense in the bottom of my heart that in this moment and in this season and in Christmas 2020, God wants you and me to be filled with hope. Amen. He wants you to know the hope that Emmanuel represents. Will you just stand with me around your table for a moment today? Would you just do me a favor for a second? Just bow your head and close your eyes. Just as a way to just take a second and block out distractions. Just take a minute to get still and to get quiet before the Lord. And this morning, if you're gathered here with us this morning around the table, maybe you came with a family member or you're watching online, you're joining with us today, and you don't know Jesus, you don't know this Emmanuel, you've never surrendered your life to him. You've never asked Jesus to become the Lord of your life. You've never accepted his sacrifice on the cross. Listen, today you can do that. And in fact, this can be one of the most unbelievable and life-changing Christmases. You could experience the greatest gift that you could ever experience. That's experiencing the salvation of Jesus Christ. And listen, if you don't know him, listen, there's no shame in that. There's no guilt in that. Every single person in this room that's a follower of Jesus, every single one of us, myself included, has had to come to a moment where we recognized and realized that, man, I could not figure it out on my own. I could not save myself. I could not make it happen myself. I needed to find what I had to surrender to something else. And that's Jesus. You say, well, how do I do that, preacher? I mean, that's all well and good, but, man, I'm not a church person, and I don't really know how to pray or any of that. Listen, it's so simple, because God wants this for everyone. So he made it so simple. You don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops. You don't have to get a bunch of stuff figured out and clean a bunch of stuff up and figure a bunch of stuff out first. In fact, Jesus says you can come to me just like you are from wherever you are, and you can know me. And that's what Jesus wants for you, is for you to know him. Well, how do I do that? It's real simple. It's real simple. A, B, C. is how we know Jesus. Listen, let me explain that. First thing I've got to do is, A, I've got to accept. I've got to accept that I'm a sinner, that I've messed up, that I don't have it figured out, and that I cannot save myself and heal myself or figure it out for myself. I've got to accept and acknowledge that, A. B, I've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Savior that I am looking for. And then C, I confess that with my mouth. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and so shall I be saved. Accept, believe, and confess. Now, are you going to have it all figured out when you do that? No. Are all of your troubles and all of your worries going to magically disappear if you say, no, absolutely not. That's ridiculous. That's foolish. But what can happen is that you can begin the process of inviting Jesus to become the Lord of your life. And you can ask him to help you follow him every single day. And that moment, that ABC moment, that accepting, believing, confessing, it's not going to fix everything with a snap of a finger, but it's going to get you into the place where you can begin to follow Jesus and surrender every single day. And begin to be transformed into who God has created you and called you to be. So if you're in this place this morning, man, and you don't know Jesus, and you've never accepted that gift of salvation, I just want to invite you to do that right now. In just a moment, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am going to ask you to raise your hand. I am going to ask you to raise your hand just to say yes, man. Because, listen, here's why we do that. When I respond outwardly to what God is doing inwardly, it brings heaven and earth together, man, and it just cements that moment. If you look all throughout Scripture, when God said something throughout the Old Testament or New Testament, Jesus speaking, listen, when God speaks, my responsibility, I have to respond. I have to respond. And that can be through coming to an altar. That can be through just a step of obedience, and it can be through raising of a hand. That's how we do that here. If you're watching online, you say, man, this is my day, this is my moment. I want to accept, I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus. Listen, you can respond right there in the comment section. You can just say, yes, I'm responding to that. And then whether you're online or in the building, we're going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to raise your hand and make that step. And then we're going to pray. And then what I want you to do right after we're done today, go to redlifechurch.com. Right in the middle of the page, it says, are you becoming a follower of Jesus today? The instructions are right here on the screen. This is just so we can pray with you, follow up with you, and answer any questions you have. And that's your next step to do. But right now, in this moment, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus, man, if you never received that gift, today is your day. You can receive that gift. And I want you right now to know, listen, I sense this in my heart. Man, God is speaking to somebody's heart. You're like, man, I don't know. I've done so much wrong. It's so jacked up. Listen, God is not mad at you. He loves you. He is waiting for you right now in this moment to surrender and to come home to him. If you want to come home to Jesus today, whether it's starting for the first time or starting for the 100th time, right now, will you just raise your hand right now and say, yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. Yes, that's me. Amen. Amen. Let's everyone in this room pray this out loud with me so you can hear it with your own ears. If you're at home, pray this with us right now. Everyone, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned, but I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, be the King of my soul. Forgive me for every wrong thing I've done. Forgive me for every wrong thing I'm gonna do. Help me to follow you in Jesus' name from this moment on. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, make this moment real for those that have prayed that, maybe for the first time or maybe for the 100th time. Lord, I pray that you just let your presence just wash over them. Holy Spirit of God, move in a very real and powerful way today. I'm going to pray one more thing, and then we're going to be dismissed. I want you to look. I want everybody to look at me now, if you can. Listen. I want there to be no shame. There is no guilt or shame or anything else, man. This is the place. This is the moment. In moments like this and in places like this, this is where we deal with our stuff, man, before the Father. And we have to, listen, if you're in this place this morning, and if you were honest with yourself, you said, man, Pastor, I'm struggling with hope right now. I'm struggling with finding hope in this season. This year has kicked my tail. This year has been this. This year has been that. And I'm with you. I get it. I understand. Listen, I'm going to ask you to make a bold step. I'm not going to call you in front, but I'm going to ask you as well. If you say, man, I need hope. I need some hope restored. My hope has been waning. My hope has been struggling today. I just know in my heart that God wants to restore and refresh and just give you hope this morning. So, man, if that's where you are, will you just be bold and raise your hand right where you are? Say, man, Pastor, I need that. I need hope this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, leave your hand up for a second. If there's someone around you that's got their hand up, just put your hand on their shoulder. Just put your hand right. Just reach over and put your hand on their shoulder, man. And we're going to pray right now. And I believe hope. I sense the Spirit of God is going to release hope in your soul like never before. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you are the hope of the world. In your name is the hope of the world. And as followers of Jesus, as sons and daughters of God, Lord, we have every reason to find hope in every season. And I pray right now, let the truth of that word, let the truth of who you are override and outweigh and be bigger than every reason that we are looking at and that we have not to hope. Lord, it's not that those reasons aren't real and not legitimate. It's just that you, God, are so much bigger, so much greater. Your truth is so much more real than those reasons that we're struggling with. And I pray right now for every person under the sound of my voice and every person that has admitted and said, yes, I need to have hope restored. Lord, I pray for supernatural hope from the Holy Spirit to start to well up in their soul, God, from a deep part of their spirit. God, let hope arise in Jesus' name. Let hope arise and let every enemy to that hope be scattered in the name of Jesus, because you are the hope of the world. And Lord, it is in you that we have put our hope. It is in you that we have put our trust. It is in you in this season, God, that we are worshiping, praising, and giving thanks for. In Jesus' precious name, every hand stretched towards me, receive this blessing in the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord